dads and two moms doing their best to get it right. A podcast for the modern parent. It's Parenthood by Fire.
Another episode of Parenthood by Fire. My name is Mike, joined by the lovely...
Woohoo, Jennifer.
Pedro.
Lainey.
That's right. And hey, if you have a topic for the show, if you want to talk to somebody or talk about something on the show, you can hit us up on Facebook anytime, www.facebook.com/parenthoodbyfire. And let's just get the elephant in the room out. We goofed last week.
Oops.
We goofed.
Uh-oh.
I mean, we're all very hardened professionals here when it comes to the...
We're sorry.
The magic of podcasting. We talked about this new feature we're going to be doing called Parenting Magic. And we got so into... Yeah, we got so into the stories that we're telling about traveling with kids that, we just got distracted. We didn't do it. So we will make sure this week we'll tease it. It's coming up, Parenting Magic, and we'll talk about something amazing that we did that worked. Yeah.
We're nothing if not inconsistent.
We're going to try to be consistent with this doggone thing, but...
It's going to be important because it's good information to share.
Exactly. Yes. I read a very... interesting article. I was typing something, and I don't know how this came up, but it was about if you had a chance to do it all over again. And I found this old Dear Abby, or Ann Landers. Not Dear Abby,
yeah,
Ann Landers.
Sisters.
Yeah, you're right.
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, keep it to the family. I found this old Ann Landers commentary from like 1976, 75-ish. And she asked the question of, if you had the opportunity to do it all over again, would you have children? And I mean, we're all four of us are adults and we all have parents. I'm interested what you think, but before the respondents, now again, this is mid 70s, the respondents, 70% of them said no, they would not have children again.
Whoa.
I found that intriguing. I was like, wow.
That's a lot of regret.
So that's a lot of regret. No kidding. And some excuses that were used were, you know, change of life, a style, which seems kind of obvious, right? Careers being ended or not succeeding at. There was a follow-up to the article in 2010 and 11, and a lot of other journalists have kind of followed up and have written about this since. And some of the most recent ones are, that anxiety disorders and depression and parents that suffer from those because of having kids. And Pedro's giving me this the stink eye right now.
No, I'm not giving you the stink eye. I'm just rolling my eyes at our society we've created.
Yeah.
But anyways...
So I'm curious. I'm going to put you guys all on the spot. And I expect the answer to probably be the same because, I mean, we're all loving parents. But if you could do it all over again, would you do it any differently? And I'm not going to say would you not have kids, because I think it's obvious that we all love our kids and we wouldn't be doing a parenting podcast if we didn't. But if you could change the spacing, for example, or if you could, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you were playing God for a moment and you could... change the, I don't know, the order. I don't know. Jennifer, we're going to take the heat off me for a second.
I would still become a parent. I would still want two children. My kids are 3 years apart, and that actually worked out pretty nicely, so I like the spacing. One thing that I would go back and do differently is I would have a lot more in-depth conversations with my husband about how we were going to manage going from one kid to two kids, because that made things really, really rocky in our relationship, and it took a long time for the family dynamic to really even out. And so knowing what I know now, I would go back and have more conversations about division of labor and who's going to be in charge of what and how are we going to support one another and what can we anticipate changing in our relationship and in the family dynamic. And I think I would just try and get more on the same page with him to make those first couple of years a little easier.
Pedro.
You know, I always thought I was going to have kids. I always wanted kids. So I think that I would definitely still be a parent. And I don't like being a stay-at-home dad. I don't know if I'd go back and do it any differently. I could definitely see why people seem to think that they wouldn't do it over again. Because I was wondering, my thought about that whole survey is like, when are they asking the parents this? Are they asking them when they have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old? Because, yeah, when I have, I'm sure if you have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, you're like, I don't want to do this again ever. This is crazy. I've got two animals in my house. They eat everything. They don't clean up. They don't listen to me. They don't. And right now, I mean, I'm dealing with that. But I think in the long term, like if you asked a 60-year-old who had two children or three children and all their children were out and they were living their lives and they were successful and they were healthy, happy adults, I think that's the point where there's that level of satisfaction and that level of like, I did something good. Like I helped to create two beings that are now really decent people. And I mean, right now, it's tough. It's the toughest thing I probably, or one of the toughest things I'm probably ever gonna do. But I think that ultimately I'm gonna feel a great level of satisfaction that, or I'm just gonna want to kill myself.
Let me ask you this. If you, you know, with the exception of some great names, some great people in history, like this is funny that I say great names in history and then I mentioned Steve Jobs, for example, but let's just bring him up for a second. You're Steve Jobs. You contributed to a whole like technology craze that continues to thrive even after your death, and your name will always be associated with Apple or the iPhone or whatever it may be, right? So you leave a legacy. But for most folks that aren't Steve Jobs, the other 99.99999%, you don't, I mean, you leave memories with people, mm-hmm. but your legacy truly is your offspring. It's what you leave on this earth. And as we all know, whether we want to admit it or not, there is a lot of our parents that lives kind of deep inside. What about you? By the way, I skipped right over you, Lainey, and I didn't mean to.
Oh, no, it's okay. I would have as many children as God would allow me to have.
Interesting. Okay.
But that's speaking from someone who is infertile and really has had to have a long journey to get to even the child that I currently have. So I would choose to have as many children as he wanted me to have.
Interesting. All right. I think if I could go back and do it all over again, as far as the spacing goes, I'm pretty thrilled with the spacing now. I mean, it was hell. It was hell for a while.
It's 18 months, right?
Yeah, they're 18 months apart, and it was pretty nutty. And
you
know,
the wrong size diaper on the wrong kid. You're like, I got a size 2 on a 3-year-old.
No, I don't think I ever had that issue. But to Jennifer's point earlier, it created a lot of stress in the marriage. I mean, just a tremendous amount of stress. And, I mean, balance as far as who's doing what and running the household and things like that. And it was rough. I mean, I can say that with such conviction. So I think I'll go in your camp and say that I would have probably had some serious conversations surrounding how we were going to manage two children. I mean, it's funny, we shared it on previous episodes how we thought we were going to parent before we had kids and how we parent after we have kids is very different. I mean, I remember sitting with you guys, we've been friends for a long time, having conversations like over campfires, talking about how, oh, once we have kids, we're going to, you know, we're going to go camping, we're going to do this, da, 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 and now that's just work, you know? And mm-hmm. So it's sometimes easier just to say, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, and it's probably what I would do, honestly. Is take a more serious look at how and how we manage the household.
And I like what you were saying earlier about, you know, these children are our legacy. So what we do with them is going to be important. And that's something that's so important to me. A lot of people know that I have tattoos. And one of the tattoos I have is on my wrist and it says the word forever. And one of the main reasons that I have that is to remind me that the things I do, the things I say, the person I am, the example I set and who I am to my children lives on past when I die. They are my legacy. And so they're always watching and always paying attention and part of me will live forever. And so that tattoo on my wrist reminds me, hey, keep it in line because someone's watching and the example you said is the person you're going to develop and that person's going to live on and have children and that person's going to live on and have children. And so that connection's always going to be there and I need to remember that in my actions.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Like I see where you're coming from because I see some stuff that Mo does that I do. Like he tries to correct Otis quite often and he kind of gets a little excited or a little animated or a little loud sometimes like I do and I'm like and I see myself in him and I'm like, oh God, I don't want to, I hope he's not like going to be overly angry at stuff and but that's still a lot of pressure to put on yourself. I mean, to the extent that it's going, it may cause anxiety and or depression.
It's a very interesting thought, Pedro, too, because it leads pretty much right into our topic tonight. And surprisingly, I'm the one that brought up parenting guilt, right? Yeah. So if y'all didn't realize by now, I really use this podcast as my therapy. So thank you very much for allowing me to do that. But yeah, you're right. It is pressure. And I think raising children is a lot of pressure. And I'm someone that really likes to be good at a lot of the things I do, if not everything that I do. And so parenting is not a flawless act. You can work and work and work, and there's always going to be someone that's doing better than you at the different components. So you're never going to be that perfect parent. And I realize that. But from my shortcomings in parenting comes guilt. And the mommy guilt, and I don't know if it's mommy guilt versus daddy guilt or just parenting guilt in general, but the sense that I've gotten is that moms feel a different type of guilt than dads do. Yeah, and so
that's 100%. All right,
mom, chime in there, mom.
Well, no, it's
you're a working mom. You work outside of the home.
Yeah.
You have a long commute every day, both ways.
I do. And you know what? It's it is definitely a huge weight on your shoulders. It is, and it doesn't feel the same way. It doesn't feel the same way to.
Now, how do you know? I mean, you don't have boy parts.
No, we've talked about it, and for me, it's like I failed at everything when something goes wrong. It's not just that it's this one moment. That one moment stays with me, and I remember everything I've done wrong, or I feel like I've done. It may have been something slight. It may have been, you know, being 15 minutes late to pick up, or you know, having to work late and not having time, or it's all of those things, all of those challenges.
Let me ask you this. Having a child in daycare and working full time, do you ever feel guilty? And I already know what your answer is going to be, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Do you ever feel guilty that you have from 6 to 7:30 or 5:30 to 8:30 of time?
Oh, yeah.
And then that's it?
Oh, yeah. That's it. There's this short window during the week, and it just means that on the weekends, it's all about family.
I want you to know that I talked to both of your husbands this past week.
Oh,
that's right. I pulled them aside because I had a feeling that was going to happen here. And I'll get to you there, Tiger. Don't you worry. As I pointed Pedro. But I didn't talk to your husband, by the way. Sorry about that.
Joe's going to be really upset.
Yeah, she's going to be mad. I talked to
Joe,
both your
husbands. He's going to be really
upset. Joe.
Yeah.
Oh, your husband. Oh, yeah. God. Sorry. Didn't get that joke.
Squash.
Yeah. I talked to both your husbands because I wanted to find out if they suffered from any kind of guilt. And they had some interesting feedback to give.
What is the greatest moment of parental guilt that you've had in raising
Rocky? First one is Dan, Elena's husband.
Anytime that I'm going somewhere without...
Anytime?
Just anytime.
Traveling for work or just going somewhere?
Yeah, just not being able to spend time when I probably should be.
I'm here with Jason, Jennifer's husband. And I'm asking you the same question I've been asking the other spouses of the Parenthood by Fire hosts. Biggest moment of parental guilt, and how do you deal with it?
Well, I think that the, I don't know if I can think of a specific instance, but it's more one of those general moments when I walk into the room and I see a guilty look on one of the kids' faces, and I yell at them for something like, you know, why is this place a mess? Why? And then they explain in a very rational way that it wasn't their fault, and I feel like, oh, I guess I should have investigated before I yelled. And so then I feel horrible, and I go into the room and, you know, bang my head against the wall. That's how I deal with it.
Okay, well, at least you didn't say, you know.
I'm not guilty at all.
Yeah. I had a blooper, by the way, that I wanted to share, too.
Wait,
with your husband.
Do you have like a head banging wall in your house?
Like we have a couple of designated walls that we use for we call them the pushing wall. So if you're upset and angry, then you can go and you can push the wall.
Oh.
Instead of like, you know, kind of like hit a pillow or, you know, instead of taking it out on your brother or your son, you go and you push a wall. And so,
nice.
I don't know. I guess Jason's the only one that headbangs it, but
he made it sound like that he turned on some Queen and would, you know, just went in the corner and
Wow.
It's also good exercise. Isometrics.
Yeah.
Standing, pushing
the wall. Be careful in socks, though. Dewey fell this morning pushing the wall because he had socks on.
Anyway. It's on a wooden or tile floor.
Yeah.
Well, good to know.
It's a couple different walls. He chose the closest one.
Nice. I see. Nice. That's good.
I had a little bit of fun with your husband on accident. We did like two or three takes.
I have fun with him by accident.
Yeah, I know. He's a fun guy. This is like the first or second take.
I'm here with Jason, who is Jennifer's wife. Husband. Sorry, let me try that again.
I'm sorry.
Just float around. Well, no, it's interesting because, you know, this is a topic that's come up lately and something that Jason and I have talked about. And I was, a couple days ago, was really, really frustrated with the boys' behavior and some of the mistakes that they were making. And I was like, I'm just really disappointed and I'm feeling kind of crappy. I'm feeling like a crappy mom. And he's like, why? And I was like, well, because they did this, this, and this. And had I, you know, been more proactive or talked to them about this or, you know, taught that lesson better, he's like, are you kidding me? And I was like, no, don't you feel that? And he said, absolutely not. He said, in fact, like when my kids make a mistake or, you know, act like an a-hole, I think is what he said. He said, I'm disappointed, but I don't see it as my personal failure. And that like was like, ding. And I was like, I see it as my personal failure. I messed up. And so, Jason, thanks for the light bulb moment, because I kind of want to be more like you. I'm done feeling like crap when my kids mess up, because they're kids and they're allowed to mess up, and it's not that I want them to be perfect, and I don't blame them, I blame me. And I'm kind of tired of that.
See, I take it the same way. I take it as it's me. And I am sure that if I ask Dan the same question, he might respond the same way, that he doesn't take it on as personally as I do.
Well, I think I'm part female because I take it pretty personally. I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I do. I'm a sensitive man.
No. I'm thinking. I'm looking through you right now. And
What are you like? What you saying?
No, I'm looking through you.
I know what you're saying. There's lots of brains. Yeah, lots of smarts.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying you're part female. I was just thinking about it. There's a couple of thoughts were running through my head about what all that was. And I think sometimes I do take it personally. I do take it like, oh, man, what the hell? I didn't teach these kids something. But then again, I think there's also that moment, and maybe it's at least with Joanna and I, when one of us is feeling bad, the other one flips around to try and cheer them up. So
that's a good point.
I think maybe, you know, there's always that something like, you know, if Mo doesn't do something right, did I not teach him that? Did I not tell him how that works? But if Joanna's like, I just feel so bad, it's like Mo's messing up, or oh, this is doing this, and then it's like, well, no, you're a great mom. You're doing wonderful. In the back of my head, I'm like, what? You totally screwed up. That's your fault completely. No, I'm not saying that at all.
Add to the guilt.
No, I don't. No, not at all. But I don't know. I'm half and half. Like, I want to say I'm disappointed, but I also feel I'm disappointed in myself as well. Yeah. So there's a little bit of that too.
Yeah. Okay. Overall, I've had those disappointing moments as well, where I'm just kind of sitting there and I'm like, you know, and I tend to be a little overly hard on myself to begin with. So, it brings me joy when we get together, like we did a couple weeks ago. All the hosts were together. That's where I recorded the clips and got to spend time with all of your spouses, Pedro's husband, and a number of other folks as well. And it's nice to get exposure to other children and other parenting techniques and see that I'm not a failure because other kids do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked last week or a couple weeks ago about Rocky, some little girl taking a bite out of Rocky. I'll be honest, my kids have bit several times, both of them. So I know yours didn't, but guess what? He got bit. So don't be surprised if you get a little note, little 2.5-page note that says, that Rocky took a chunk out of some kid.
Five or six pages, I'm sure.
Well, I think that's a good point, Mike. And in an effort to make myself feel better, I went on to my personal Facebook page and I posted and I said, you know, hey, people, tell me, how do you feel? Do you have guilt? Because I can't be the only one. Please say I'm not the only one. So I had a good number of people respond. I was pretty happy. I had like 10 plus people respond, and I'll say all but one were moms, which is interesting. And I specifically solicited both dads and moms, but the majority were moms. And I'll tell you, it all came down to like the same six things that brought us guilt. So
okay.
Number one, patience or mm-hmm. a lack thereof. Everyone just feeling like, especially at the end of the day, if you're a working yeah. parent and you get to the end and you're just like, I'm exhausted, you're exhausted, it's witching hour, I'm trying to get dinner ready, and you just don't have the patience. Just time in general, not mm-hmm. having enough time with your kids, which we've identified. Not giving them.
I feel like I have too much time with my kids.
Yeah. Is there too much time? Like,
I just want to go away from them for a while.
Yeah. You know what?
I can understand that.
There are other, you know, stay at home parents that express the same thing of like, I feel guilty because I want to get away because I want a break from my kids. Mm-hmm. So other stay at home parents said that too, but also not giving them what they need, like developmentally, like, am I talking to them enough? Am I reading, you know, enough to them? Yeah. Do I have them in the right tutoring program? Do I have, you know, are they in the right school? Have I made the right choices for them developmentally and academically is a big one. Being a good role model. So am I role modeling the way I want my children to be and exist? And then this is a big one too, is judging yourself based on what others do or say. So whether you feel like someone is giving you feedback and saying like, oh, the way you handled that, you could have done this different, or just in your own head, that internal voice that says like, oh, I really watched the way that, you know, Mike talked to E-Man at the birthday party a couple weeks ago, and I would have handled that situation so differently. He did a much better job than I did. You know,
I did.
Of course you did. So, you know, we all have that internal voice as we're judging and comparing with each other. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is just kind of feeling guilty, you know, my big one of, you know, the mistakes your kids make and taking that personally and having that it be your fault.
But I suffer from some guilt. And Pedro and I were talking about this, I think, over a cigar the other night. We were talking about the fact of giving kids too much.
Yes.
And I'm terrible at this. You know, the other night we had dinner out. And one of my children lost one of their possessions. Now, I had asked them not to bring it out of the car, to leave it in the car while we had dinner. They didn't want to. They brought it to the table.
Was it a new possession? Like a brand new?
No, it was a book. We had a dinner on Friday night, and there was this Halloween book that one of my children had written, and they were reading it. They were having fun. I'm like, I don't want you to bring that side. You could lose it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, we lost it. It was left at the table, and I guess when they came and they cleared the table, it went bye-bye, went back with the kids after some playtime, and it was gone. Couldn't find it. I wasn't digging through the dumpster for it. I mean, not at the mall, no. But at any rate, we lost this possession, and the instant response that hits me, and I mean, it hits me like a cup of coffee, is, you know, like, is rush out and replace it with something. I've got to give them something, right? And that's not good, right? I mean,
no, that's awesome. I don't think kids need to learn just disappointment. They need to learn that there's not going to be, you know, something to replace whatever they lost or whatever they have. And I think learning disappointment is a huge thing, right? Because mm-hmm. I mean, we have disappointments. We're going to have disappointments. They're going to have disappointments. I mean, we get disappointed in ourselves, right? And we beat ourselves. It's not like we go out and, well, we maybe go out and buy stuff. I don't know. I go out and buy a Coach purse every once in a while when I feel guilty. But that's just me.
I buy Christmas and Halloween decorations.
Yeah, you do.
You have a small addiction.
Online shopping.
So, yeah, no, learning disappointment is huge. Like, you have to learn, because disappointment can drive them to be like, well, okay, I'll remember to keep after my stuff. Or if my dad, who's 30 something years old and he's been around the block a few times, tells me to leave it in the car, maybe I'll leave it in the car next time.
It's accountability.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's the kids need to learn that. But
and if we spend all of our time solving our children's problems, then we're going to be, you know, tied by the umbilical cord to them their whole life. And the older they get, the bigger their problems get. So it's much easier now to have, you know, E-Man or Goose have to deal with the disappointment of leaving the book at the restaurant, as opposed when they're, you know, 16, 17, 18 and making much, much bigger mistakes or having bigger problems that they can't handle.
How many people have you met when you were going to college that everything is handed to them on a silver spoon, and if something happens, mom and dad will fix it.
Yep.
They crash their car, no big deal. Daddy will just buy you a new one.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm setting the seeds or the wheels in motion to do that by not.
No book for you guys.
Ooh, yeah. No good.
So what'd you do? Did you replace or did you let?
No. I yelled at the kid. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do anything. I told Goose that, you know, I'm sorry, honey, da 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 da, you know, and we went home. and it was bad, and she cried like crazy, and it was no good.
That's hard.
Yeah. We were even talking about Disneyland, for that matter. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
The fact that I told Pedro the other night that I had been to Disneyland one time when I was 5 and then again when I was 18. And I was joking around about the fact that all of our kids that are at this table have been to Disneyland
multiple times.
So many times.
Three, four, five,
whatever. Yeah. I think mine have been 5 or 4.
Rocky's first trip's in a couple weeks.
I mean, he's never been.
And he's two and a half, right? So it's like, part of that's for you guys, right? And
oh, yeah.
for mm-hmm. your, I think, isn't your mother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
your,
so my mom's
part
gone.
Of that, part of that's for you guys. You guys are going to experience Disneyland through him. He mm-hmm. may know some of it. He probably watches Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or something.
He does.
So he'll get excited, but ultimately he's not going to remember it. And so, I mean, but at some point, like I have friends that have season tickets every year, and they actually have a timeshare, Disneyland timeshare. So they not only go to Disneyland, but they also go to Disney World, and they go on Disney cruises, and they just Disney it out all the time. And their little girl is a year younger than my Mo, so she's 4, 4 and a half now. And she before she's 10, she's gonna be like, Disneyland doesn't mean anything. I think we live in that instantaneous gratification society, like the iPad with all of the movies on it or whatever, that, you know, the kids don't understand what it means anymore just to like wait around and figure it out and to really. But anyways, we're getting off topic. Like,
no,
I feel guilty
for not giving them enough and giving them too much.
I feel guilty about spinning this topic the wrong way.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I as I always do, try and make myself feel better by doing a little bit of research.
There we go.
And I found something that made me feel really, really good.
I want to share.
So, if anyone has heard of Scary Mommy, she has a Facebook page. She has a website. It's awesome. So if you go to ScaryMommy.com/confessionals, you can leave a parenting confession completely anonymously, and then it will be posted for you, so you can admit to whatever parenting issue you have, whatever guilt you have, and then others are able to not comment on it, but are able to support you in one of three ways. They can either like your comment, they can give you a hug, or they can say, oh my God, me too. And so no one is telling you how horrible you are. No one's able to comment. You're just able to receive support of either like, yes, I commiserate with you, or yes, I like that because you're funny, or, you know, hey, you need a hug because that kind of sucks. And being able to do it anonymously was awesome.
What was the website again?
It is www.scarymommy.com/confessions.
Love it.
We have no connection to Scary Mommy. I just found it. I just
good. You're giving people resources to deal with their parenting guilt.
It was freeing. I put a couple things on there for myself. It was totally anonymous, and I can't wait to go on tonight to see if anyone hugged me or said, oh my God, me too, or liked me. So
beautiful.
It's a little bit extra support.
All right. It's time. We've been teasing it.
Oh yeah.
Parenting magic.
We don't have to feel bad anymore because we'll have some brilliant parenting moments.
Parenting magic.
You know.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
That was a really pathetic intro, by the way.
So I had a moment of parenting magic this past week. And it may seem simple because, you know, I think a 2.5-year-old is probably the youngest of our group other than little Otis. But
Otis doesn't count.
Otis does count.
Fine, I don't count.
I said other than little Otis.
There you go.
Everybody else is older.
How were you brilliant, Lainey? Tell us. Man.
Well, I can't take credit. It actually was my husband, so I have to give kudos to Dan. But so, you know, 2.5, there's like anger and temper tantrums and things like that. And luckily, they haven't been like hour-long things. But my husband figured out a way to snap Rocky right out of it. And it's hilarious. I tried and I smile every time. So he'll be in the middle of whatever meltdown has caught. I mean, maybe his shoe was untied. I don't know. But and he'll be crying and a mess. And Daddy will say, no, I want to rock right now. And no matter what he's doing in the middle of his tantrum, he'll do, no, I want to rock right now. And then it turns into this little debate, and then he snaps right out of it, and it's fun.
And so, you all end up singing and dancing together?
Pretty much.
It's awesome. Distraction is awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, that... Yes.
I was just saying that there's a popular rock song. Yeah. You should play this for Rocky.
I think we would. Well, I'm pretty sure he'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
What am I saying? Magic sound effects and
music?
Wow, I'm really doing good here.
There we go.
We're
like Night at the Roxbury. Yeah.
Is that what you say? I want to rock right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. And then we'll like go back and forth. It'll be like, Daddy wants to rock right now.
Hit it.
Rocky wants to rock right now.
I'm not.
And just totally snaps him out of it.
Totally snaps.
Ends the tantrum.
It doesn't matter.
Brilliant.
It doesn't matter.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, good job. Like,
so it's maybe it's a little magic.
Parenting magic with Lainey.
It's just distraction. Yay. But no, that has to be a Dan thing because he started it. I don't
okay.
do music that
so well. we'll give Dan just a little bit of credit. I guess he kind of deserves it for this one.
He definitely deserves it.
Excellent. All right. Well, we want to know, we want to hear from the vast population of Parenthood by Fire listeners, right? Want to find out from you folks, what, when it comes to parenting guilt, you know, what, how do you deal with it? What's, what are you guilty about?
What makes you feel guilty?
Yeah, what makes you feel guilty? Tell us, parenthoodbyfire.com or www.facebook.com/parenthoodbyfire. Or you can
follow us on Twitter @ParentFire.
You know what's funny with Twitter? Every time he says that, I mean, I'm expecting more, but it's just that. @ParentFire. All right. Have a great week, folks. We will see you with another topic in 7 days. Take care. Have a great week.
Bye.
Future Zane.